It is good to see everyone today. Would you join me in prayer right now? Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, your hand is upon lives today, and you are doing a work among us. God, you're filling this place. You're touching hearts. You're causing people to come alive. Lord, your breath always brings transformation. Lord, whenever you breathe on a human life, they resurrect. Eternal life touches them, and you're breathing on people today. And so we welcome you, Holy Spirit. Come and have your way, Lord. Come and have your way. Father, I'm asking right now by your Spirit that you would touch hearts, that you would cause them to hear your voice. Lord, that there would be action that follows, that there would be a desperation that changes circumstances and leaves chains behind, that you grant grace, Lord, for each one. Reveal your Son. Reveal Jesus in the midst of us today. Give us wisdom, Lord, that we could live our lives and see the world transformed as well. God, we thank you for this. If you agreed with that, you said, amen. Ha ha. We're gonna have a good time. We're already having a good time, but we're gonna have a better time. How many in here celebrate birthdays? Be honest. Oh, yep, there you go. You had one? Had a few? Our family celebrates birthdays. The home that I grew up in was a home that we loved to celebrate one another, and we definitely brought the party when it came to birthdays. However, when I got married and met my wife's family, my world would be changed forever because they took birthdays and celebrations to a whole nother level, a level I was not prepared for. There are some forms of happiness that the human soul can just not, that you cannot prepare for until you actually experience it, right? When we got married, first of all, in my family, it's a day to honor, and really what it meant is dinner and a couple presents and a pat on the head. A round of happy birthday, the song, blowing out of the candles, and that's it, right? That's the shindig. That's what we do. In my wife's family, it's a day. It is every single person in the whole entire extended family. Every time there's a birthday, we all come together. And for me personally, because I'm like a super practical, I like to rule my calendar, I like to rule my time, to have birthday parties forced upon me, I was not ready for that. So there was like this dying to self that had to take place in order to embrace this new level of celebration, all right? How many understand the party happens because people create the special occasion? The date itself is not actually significant. If you shouted out your birth date at me right now, the world doesn't care. The only reason that that day is special is because the people you love are celebrating the fact that you exist. People setting apart the day is what makes the day special. Are you with me? Anybody's birthday today? No, we had one first service. All right. Nobody was born today. I guess today isn't special. All right. We have these traditions that take normal opportunities, just normal days, and turn them into occasions. And they become an occasion because people choose to make them an occasion. It's in the Bible, it's called to consecrate, to set something apart. You do this for work often, and this happens in so many situations in our life. In fact, everyone in here probably has consecrated something in their life. But if you have a work phone, like for your job, you carry a mobile phone, you have a consecrated item in your possession. It has been set apart for a specific use. It's not something that you can use just for common practice. It can only be used for your work. We consecrate spaces. We take buildings and fill them full of books, and we consecrate them for the purpose of education. We call them libraries, right? You have rooms in your home that are consecrated for specific use. If you have like a home office, what is the reason you consecrated that space? For work, yeah? Okay, how many can think through their life and you recognize there's something that you have set apart for a specific use? Like everybody in here. The Lord delights in consecrating things. In fact, this idea did not come from humans. It came from Him. God, throughout all of history, has set apart certain dates. He set apart certain seasons. He has taken and consecrated places. He's taken and He set apart people. All throughout history, we can see the mark of God consecrating people and places and dates and times, setting them apart for specific use. And today I want to talk to you about that because the Holy Spirit of God is moving in our moment of history. And in order for God to encounter, He requires that it first be consecrated. Every single option, every single opportunity, every single situation where God encounters a people, He has required first that they be consecrated. For you to encounter God, it required you consecrating yourself. The definition of consecration, it's pretty straightforward. Let me hit it for you, and you'll understand where we're going this morning. It literally means this: to prepare, to dedicate, to separate, to be set apart, to observe as holy, to keep sacred, to honor as sacred, to devote, to keep oneself apart or separate oneself from others. For the purpose of today's time, I was meeting with the Lord yesterday. This is how my week normally goes. I set my Saturdays apart just to wait on the Lord, to spend time in His presence. And so that was my practice yesterday. I got into the presence of the Lord and just began to wait on Him. And as soon as I turned my heart towards Him, He spoke this word. He said, "You must consecrate yourselves for what I'm about to do." And I said, well, you know, it's like a holy moment. It took me back. And then I thought, well, I better figure out what He's talking about. So I spent the remainder of the afternoon looking through the scriptures at every single situation, every single encounter, every single time a person consecrated something, God consecrated them, commanded them to consecrate. I looked at the whole subject in exhaustive form. And as I was looking at it, this wave of the Lord's presence and this fear of God began to grip my heart because I realized that it is in the consecration that truly sets a person up to encounter. Like if you look at the front of this room here, and over the last month, we have been giving altar calls every service. If you look at the front of the room and you look at this stage, all it is a couple of steps and some carpet. Nothing special about it. Nothing significant about it. In fact, this room is kind of an ordinary auditorium. Cement, brick, mortar, carpet, some nice paint. What makes it special? What makes the altar a significant place? When people come forward and they honor the moment and they bend the knee and they turn their heart in submission and surrender to Jesus, it's in that moment that this two steps and some carpet becomes holy ground. By itself, it's nothing. It's literally, it's lumber. Dave built it, It's built well. He did a good job. Good job, Dave. It's just lumber. It's a couple of steps in lumber. Nothing significant about it, except for the fact that when we consecrate, we set apart the moment when a person surrenders their life, when they set apart their life, when they bow the knee to Jesus, God enters that moment. And it's no longer ordinary steps. Now it's literally the footsteps to the throne of the Lord. Incredible how a mundane moment becomes a holy moment simply because people made a choice of their will. People made a choice to separate a moment from a different moment. They consecrated it. What made the items in Israel, the practices of Israel, what made the Jewish people set apart people, God asked them to consecrate themselves. What I want to do this morning is I'm going to take a look. We're going to journey through the scriptures. We're going to look at the different times in scripture. And again, I'm not going to go through the whole thing. You know, if we were to sit and read every passage of scripture, we would be here the rest of the afternoon. And I know you have stuff to do, and so do I. Amen, right? What we are going to do, though, is we're going to look at each of the highlights, and I want to talk through them because I think something begins to become apparent, that as we look at this topic as it unfolds, you realize the power of your choice and how it truly is the gateway, it's the door, it's the threshold for encounter with the Lord. This is the pattern in the Old Testament. What takes place in the under the Old Covenant in the Old Testament, they're very practical applications. Like God says, do X, Y, Z. It's not super spiritual activities. Often it's literally like, hey, take a bath. Like, it's washings. It's to set yourself apart. You must wash your clothes before you go meet with God. This is the birthplace of church clothes. It's the little choices along the way. And what's amazing is that every time God gives a command and he tells them to consecrate, to do an action, the repercussions of it are so dramatic. Every time there's a God encounter on the other side of it. Yet the practice seemed so simple. So let's look at it here. This is Exodus 19. We're going to begin to look through this stuff. If you got a Bible, you're welcome to join me. Otherwise, you can follow along on the screen. This is Exodus 19, verse 10. Exodus 19, 10. The Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Let them wash their garments. All right, there you go. Let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. Before God's people could encounter his presence, he required that they consecrate themselves. How many times was there an encounter of the Lord waiting for you, but your heart said no? How many times was there an opportunity to come face to face with the living God, but when the Lord asked you to let go of something or someone or a situation, to surrender, our hearts say no, and as a result, we miss it. It was true in the Old Testament, still true today. The encounter of the Lord is always preceded by people consecrating themselves. This is Exodus 28, verse 2. You shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, for glory and for beauty. Okay, that is a version of clothes that some are in tune to wear. I am perhaps not in that tune. Make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, for glory and for beauty. You shall speak to all the skillful persons who I have endowed with the spirit of wisdom, that they will make Aaron's garments to consecrate him. that he may minister to me as a priest. This is a really interesting idea. God had the creative people create the outfit that the high priest would make. The outfit itself would be consecrated to the Lord, and whoever wore the outfit became consecrated to the Lord. The priesthood would be passed on through generations. It's not just Aaron. Aaron is the high priest. Aaron wore the garments. They made the garments. The garments were put on Aaron. Aaron became the consecrated high priest. This is the same thing that we are seeing today, and I want to appeal to you. I want you to think a little bit on this situation. The high priest was holy unto the Lord because of the office that he held. The garments were representative of his office, the role that he played for Israel. That role would be passed on from generation to generation. Often it gets passed on. The high priest is changing. It was the office itself that set apart the man. It was the office that consecrated the man. We, in our country, we don't have high priests, we don't have kings, we have presidents. Can I get a little bit of up in your stuff today? Is that all right? Okay. You don't have to like the man. You don't. You don't have to like the man. It's not even demanded of you. However, when the man put on the office, he was consecrated for a role. It's the consecration that sets the office apart. So whether you like the man or not, you ought to honor the office. This is how you get rid of the political spirit, my friends. Like, let that thing die in you. Aaron, the high priest, puts on that garment. He gets set apart into an office. He was consecrated by the office, not the opposite. The man didn't make the office. The mantle made him. It was the role, the calling that set him apart, not the man himself. This is Exodus 28:38. It shall be on Aaron's forehead, and on Aaron shall take away the iniquity of the holy things which the sons of Israel consecrate. With regard to all of their gifts, it shall always be on his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. So this is a crazy sort of idea, but the priests had to receive gifts from the people and had to consecrate the gifts before they were usable in the service of the Lord. And so people would come with their offerings. They would come with monies. They would come with the materials needed to make the tabernacle, to do all of these construction projects that God had them doing, these practical demonstrations. Aaron would receive the gifts, and when he would receive them, he would consecrate them. He would set the gifts that people gave apart for the use of the Lord and the Lord alone. When you give, you're not giving to an organization. You're not giving to a church. You're not giving to the board of trustees here. You're giving unto the Lord. The practice of giving unto the Lord is what consecrates whatever resource you sow. It's unto the Lord. When we participate in something as holy priests of the living God, you and I have become a holy priesthood. When Jesus redeemed you, you became this priesthood. You know, your involvement in things brings a sanctification process to it. When you get involved, stuff starts to change. Light starts to shine. We've talked about this before. The presence of the Lord comes. He ministers in and through you. He starts to touch people's lives around you. Even though they came broken and they came dirty and they came, that it's your involvement in their life, the Lord in you and through you, that begins to set them apart and touch their lives and bring transformation in their lives as well. There's a process that God utilizes us as a holy priesthood to minister. You have power, authority to do these things. Here's another one. This one is This one wrecks me every time I think about this. Have you ever experienced a thin place? A place where, a location, physical place, where it seems that it's easier to experience the presence of God? Like, what is this? An open heaven? Is there a portal here? You hear people talk about weird things. What is that? What has happened here? Why do you go to a place and you have an expectation and an encounter with the Lord? I've heard people talk about how they literally will come on the church property and they'll begin to experience the presence of the Lord, like drive onto the church property. And as they're coming on, the presence of God begins to touch them. That's wild. That's amazing. Did you know that you can do that on purpose? Did you know that you can do that on purpose? What would happen if your office cubicle became a place of God's encounter? What would happen if your home became a place, a dwelling place of God? Like, wouldn't that be amazing if a thin place was the place you worked? What the scripture says about places, physical locations, is this. This is Exodus 29:43. This one, again, it wrecks me. I will meet there with the sons of Israel, and it shall be consecrated by my glory. It goes on to talk about how the Lord will consecrate the space. When I've had the privilege to go to Ireland now a handful of times, and there are places in Ireland I swear the hills are singing like of the glory of the Lord. There are places of thin spots where I just encounter God so freely and so easily. And when you look back in history, it was because people had encountered God previously in those places. His glory had touched a place and it changed the atmosphere forever. What if you went to work on Monday, you sat down in your cubicle, because you're a carrier of the presence of God. You're a carrier. Everywhere you go, God's on board, baby. What happens, though, if you did this on purpose? You go into your office environment and you consecrated it, you set it apart, you began to encounter the Lord. You intentionally welcomed his presence and his glory began to manifest in you. What happens is the atmosphere gets charged. Stuff starts to change. What happens if you take that over to the water cooler where everybody goes and refills their water bottles, gets a cup of water, a coffee pot, and that place became a place of God's glory manifesting? Can you imagine the people you're working with? They wander up to that thing and next thing you know, the holy whack hits them. What is that all about? That's about the Lord, the glory of God touching a place. This is when people who carry God's presence worship him and encounter him and his glory manifests. It changes everything. That is your stewardship. Your neighborhood could be never the same again if you would go home and consecrate your home. Set it apart to the Lord. Begin to encounter him. Your family could encounter God in a fresh way. How's that going to happen, Pastor Jamie? Because you set apart your home environment. You begin to worship. You encounter the Lord. Do it as a family. But Pastor Jamie, when we do that, nothing seems to happen. My friends, no. You are carriers of the presence of God. But it's time that we get serious about this and stop playing church. You want God to encounter your household? Stop sinning. You want God to encounter your marriage? Stop running it over. Stop violating it. Consecrate yourself. Set yourself apart. Welcome the Lord back into this situation. Leave the past behind and embrace a brand new day. When Solomon built his temple, most expensive building in the world, most expensive building ever built in history, there's so much gold covering that place. I mean, I can't imagine. It's one of the wonders of the world. They had so much wealth in their city that silver had zero value. It was literally just piled up on the streets. Most expensive building ever built in history. When they built it on Mount Zion, God's holy hill, did you know that it didn't become the dwelling place of God until Solomon consecrated it and the glory came and manifested? This is how it works. You consecrate, and then the encounter comes. I've talked to many, many young people who struggle. They're wrestling. They're saying, I want to serve God, but they're holding on to things of the world. They want to encounter the Lord. They want their life set apart for the Lord, but then they're also dragging around these hooks of the world in them. And they're like, they're torn between two places. And their question is always like, how do I get rid of this stuff? I want to serve the Lord. I don't want to want that stuff anymore. Often those hooks are hidden. Often they don't know where that little flesh thing is hidden at. Do you know that in baptism, if you've been baptized into Jesus' name, it says that your old self, your old nature was dead and gone away with. But I know many people that have been baptized in Jesus' name and the old nature is dead and gone. But then they're still struggling with something. Like one thing. It's like their life is going awesome and then that one thing pops up. Boom! And they're derailed in the ditch, wondering what's going on. Maybe this has been you before. Maybe this is you right now. How do you come to recognize and see where that hook is? How do I get that thing out of me? Why is it that I'm doing great and then all of a sudden the devil does one thing in my life and boom, I'm side railed? Look at this one. This is Joshua 7, verse 13. You ready for this? I don't think you're ready. Look at your neighbor and go, I don't know if I'm ready for this one. Joshua 7, 13. Israel had just suffered a defeat as an army. God had promised them that they would never be defeated, and they just were defeated. People died in the field of battle. And so Joshua goes to the Lord and he goes, what happened? This is the response. Rise up and consecrate the people. Consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, for thus the Lord, the God of Israel, has said, there are things under the ban in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you have removed the things under the ban in your midst. God had said to the army, don't take anything from Jericho. Don't touch it. Leave it behind. It's the Lord's. It's cursed. Don't touch it. There was a family, though, that went and went, riches, took it, brought it into the camp. They go out to the next battle, and they lose, and this is the result. God says, consecrate yourself. Everyone, the whole army, all of Israel, consecrate yourself, because when you consecrate yourself, when you surrender, then the thing that is holding you back becomes manifested. How do you come to know where that hook is in you? Why do you keep falling? What is the deal with that thing? How do you get rid of it? You surrender completely, and in those moments, the Holy Spirit will go, I want that. Let it go. It happens every time. And in that moment, you'll have a decision, and you'll go, man, I don't know if I want to let go of this. God demands it. He goes, this is what I'm asking for. It didn't become apparent until you surrendered. When you surrendered, then the word of the Lord comes. It's exactly what happened with Israel. As soon as all of them consecrated themselves, then it became very obvious where the problem was. I wonder how many times the Holy Spirit has said, given us promises, things that we're supposed to walk in, that get undermined because we don't want to let go of a previous season. I want to be mad at them. I deserve justice. I'm going to hold on to this thing until I get what's coming. Well, then you might miss out on the move of God. You may miss out on the very thing that the Lord has like set you up for, all because you're like, nope, I want it. How do you get free? You consecrate yourself. You let go. You cannot just hold back. I had a young person come and talk to me, and they were mad at me for saying some of this stuff because there's like a conditional deal that they were making with God. And I want to say to you today, I'm going to say it as bold as I can. There's no conditions with God. It's surrender, and then he blesses you. You're going to have to trust that he's good. You can't go, nope, I won't unless. Not, that's not the deal. God, if you, then I. Nope, that's not how it works. It's death to yourself and embrace the life of Jesus. Well, I did that when I was little. Yes, you did. And that's why Paul tells you to do it every day. It's not a one time. Yes, once for all, you got saved. 100%, okay? We're talking about getting resaved. We're talking about setting your life apart so you're usable. Because when you consecrate yourself unto the Lord and you let the stuff go, you are setting yourself up for the encounter. It's how it works. Yahoo! There are so many ways that there's other layers here, but I want to hit one last one. This is Leviticus 20. Leviticus 20, verse 7. You shall consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my statutes and practice them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. This is, I think, we misplace responsibility sometimes, thinking that God will encounter us, and because God encounters us, we'll change. But the Lord says, consecrate yourselves, and then I'll encounter you. I'll sanctify you. It's not difficult. It's holy, humble yourself and surrender, and then God. I've been in revival services. I was a part of a church that was in revival, like full on, full blown, Holy Ghost. Millions of people from around the world gathering to be in this place. Can I tell you that it always came down to an altar call and a decision from people that they were willing to surrender? Always. Worship was great, but I can tell you, I like ours better. But it was Pentecostal gospel, and that wasn't really my thing either, though. So I think that, like, I encounter the Lord in our times of worship as strongly as I did in the days of Brownsville. I do. The Lord just here. He really is. Steve Hill was the evangelist, and he would preach these just rip-roaring sermons, and then he'd give an altar call. And it was always this moment of decision, and you could feel the tension in the people because people were weighing through their pride. It was always, it's what it was, every single time. It came to the edge, and hearts were burning and saying, I want to. And pride was holding people in their seats. And then something would take place. It was beautiful every time, like clockwork. This little girl, name's Charity, she'd jump up and she'd begin to sing a song. Run to the Mercy Seat is the name of the song, right? She's like 15 years old, young girl. But when she would open her mouth, people would just break. She'd sing and people would come running to the altar. And it was in that moment that something would break loose. It'd break loose every time. God's presence would come sweeping in and powerful encounters. People would lay under the power of God for hours after those services. Just the Lord moving on their lives. Wasn't the preaching, wasn't the worship. It was that decision. Steve stood in the pulpit and he preached hard. Repent. Let go, be consecrated to God. And then he would leave the decision with people. And when they made the choice, God moved every time. You and I, we're on the very edge of something big right now. We really are. Do you know that Minnesota is prophesied as the revival state? It is. Dutch Sheets and Chuck Pierce, Cindy Jacobs, they did these tours of the states and just prophetically speaking over states. And when they got to Minnesota, they went, the awakening in America will start here. Yeah. What if it already has? Doesn't look like we thought it was, does it? Doesn't look like we thought it would. It did start here. It did start here. You know, in the 60s and 70s, there was something called the Jesus People Movement. You guys familiar? If you're not sure about it or are unfamiliar with it, it was basically a move of God that started with hippies. In the 60s and 70s, upwards of 75,000 hippies moved to the San Francisco Bay Area. All homeless. What would happen? What happens to a city if thousands and thousands of people intentionally move to your city to be homeless? Like, that'll change the atmosphere of your city. And people didn't know what to do with them. They're long-haired, free love, free drugs, free everything, right? Wild culture. Watch a documentary, okay? The 60s, crazy time, right? Vietnam's kicking off. We have a war. People are dying. Young people are dying. And people are angry. Politically, it's not a nice time at all. There's crazy amounts of hatred. Lots of hatred. So much hatred that we murder a president. Today, my friend, is a reliving of some of these moments. Don't think these days are foreign days. These are revisiting things. We used to have congressmen shooting each other. No one's seen Hamilton, you really? You think it's bad now? At least they're not dueling and during breaks. What I'm saying is that in that period of time, a move of God began to touch the hippies. See, the hippies were the anti-culture. No one wanted them there. They were a plague to society. The church had nothing to do with them. They did not want them in churches. Churches are clean. It's nice smelling in here, mostly. Right? You wash your clothes. It's church clothes, right? That's what you consecrate. In that day, they didn't want the hippies. The hippies didn't wear shoes. They didn't take baths. Most of them were living homeless. Most of them are on drugs. They didn't cut their hair. They were different. They were anti-counterculture. They wanted nothing to do with form and structure that the organizational church was providing. Churches refused to let them in. Yet God began to save some of them hippies and radically encounter them. This move of God kicks off where the presence of the Lord is sweeping. And there was one pastor who finally was like, okay, you can use the meeting hall. And he would allow these Bible studies to take place. And the presence of God would come into those meetings. And there would be hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, thousands of hippies all hanging out at church. It kicks off a move of God that we all know now as the Jesus People Movement because the church left the building. The church got in. It wasn't the organizational church. It was that God started empowering people to go do stuff. It was radical. The political time was radical. Racial time, radical. War, people dying, was not a nice time. Counterculture, sweeping, all that stuff. And in the midst of all of that, the Lord raised up a people. A lot of the pastors that you see running big churches all got saved in the Jesus People Movement. Although you wouldn't know it, would you? Because we're back running churches the way that we have always have. Something's giving right now. Something's changing. There's a birth of a move of God right now. We're in the middle of it. We're in the middle of it. It's not coming the way that we thought it would come. It's not coming with nice revival services. It's all clean and there's altar calls. I love that. No, it's happening in the streets. It's happening and it's radical. You know, maybe right now there's, I don't know, lots of young people that are angry and raging at the machine. Maybe they're misbehaving. Maybe they're moving into neighborhoods they don't belong. Maybe they're destroying things. Maybe there's some pretty bad stuff going on. What if that was your next Jesus People movement? What if we could see with redemptive eyes what God was doing in our moment of history? Whoo! Can't tell if you're thinking or you're mad at me. Doesn't matter. Either way is fine. How does this become a God moment? Consecration. God's about to do something. The revival started in Minnesota. Didn't look the way we wanted. But oh boy, is it here. The presence of God's moving, changing. Do you want to be a part of it? I sure do. I sure do. I'm willing to do anything for it. I'm willing to do anything. The Lord said, consecrate yourselves for the sake of encounter. This is the purpose. I don't know what you're holding on to. I don't know what's going on in your life. But I will tell you that if you'll consecrate yourself, it'll become obvious real quick. Maybe you don't know how to get out of whatever it is that you're facing. Consecrate yourself and let the Lord deal with it. He's a wonderful surgeon, by the way. He'll take care of your stuff. He'll heal you. He'll deliver you. What it requires is surrender. Absolute 100 letting go. Gotta surrender to Jesus. When Jesus comes and dies and resurrects, consecration becomes no longer these physical practices, but takes place in the human heart, surrendering to his lordship. And that when we surrender to his lordship, when we die to ourselves and put him on the throne, that's a choice of the will. Consecrate yourselves. And when you surrender, when you let your pride go, that is the place where he'll encounter you, heal you, deliver you, set you up, anoint you. All that stuff that's in your heart takes place after you say yes, not before. Are you alive? Would you stand to your feet today? Woo! Yahoo! We're going to do a couple of things. First of all, I'm not going to give an altar call. The reason is because you probably all would come forward. What's the point of that? You're going to make your seat your altar, okay? We're going to stand in the Lord's presence, and we're going to give him an opportunity to shine his holy light on our hearts and see if we're holding on to stuff. And if we're holding on to stuff, you should surrender it. Let it go. Repent. Give it to Jesus. Let him do his thing. Something powerful is going to take place in your life. Are you with me? Right following this service, we're going to take the party outside where there's baptismal tanks. And there's a whole bunch of people that really, truly need to get baptized today. Like, not because you have been running away from God, but because you know it's a new season and it's actually time to step into the new season. You know that it's time to leave the past behind and to step into something new. And you need to consecrate your life unto the Lord, and baptism washings is a practical way of doing that. You've seen some of your elders be baptized. That's not because of sin. That's not because of anything else. That is because they recognized the holy moment and have stepped into it. Don't let pride hold you back today. If the Lord's commanding, if he's inviting, say yes and let your heart engage fully. So Father in heaven, in this place, we come before you. Holy Spirit of God, would you come right now? Holy Spirit, come. Lord, we invite you right now to come. Holy Spirit, you're the one that convicts us. You're the one, Holy Spirit, that enlightens us and reveals Jesus. Holy Spirit, would you come right now? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, we're going to pray a really dangerous prayer. Okay, I'm inviting every person to pray it. Father in heaven, if there's an unclean way in me, would you please show me that I might let it go? I consecrate my life once again unto you. I surrender, Jesus. Vivid picture right now, and I'm going to attempt to just sing it just because I know your pain. I see you holding on to it. You have a right, my child. You have a right to hold to, but the pain is there because you won't let go. And today, if you'll surrender, if you'll undo your grip, I will come and I'll restore and I will heal. What was stolen, I will touch and renew and set you in a new place. Holy Spirit, right now, whoever that is, I see this picture. It's like you're gripping a razor blade and you think it's justice. You're holding on to justice. It's not. It's destroying you. You have to relinquish it. Forgiveness is when someone sins and you go, I forgive you. You let their sin go. Mercy is given in the place of needing justice. So you hold on because you're needing to see something of justice take place. You have a right to it, but the Lord is asking you for mercy. Mercy is when you let go of your need for justice. You have to let it go. If you let it go, then He can be your judge, and He will defend you, and He will deal with it. But it's in your hand right now, like a razor blade, and it's the tighter you grip it, the more pain it causes. Father, right now I pray that you would grant grace to people to give mercy to those who do not deserve it, to turn over their call and right to justice, to give it to you, Jesus, the King, the Judge. Holy Spirit, help people right now. Father in heaven, give great grace to them right now. You don't realize it, but this is the precipice. This is a moment right now. It's a divine moment. The Lord's asking you to let go. He's put it on your heart. You got to let go. Do it. I don't want you to miss. I don't want you to leave behind what is calling you to because of this thing. You'll lose out. You'll lose out every time. Holy Spirit, help people right now. If that's you, just pray this prayer with me. Jesus, you are the judge, and I relinquish my call for justice, and I give it to you because you always bring justice. So I surrender my right unto you. We release people right now in Jesus' name. We release them. We release people now. Be free. Be free. Be free. By the blood of Jesus, in the name of the Lord, I break that torment. The Lord rebuke you. You will leave now in Jesus' name. That torment that came upon people, we break it now in Jesus' name. It goes now. Thank you, Lord. 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 Holy Spirit, would you come? Wow, thank you, Lord. 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 Bless you now. Would you just receive it? We're going to close the service. We're going to take the party outside. A bunch of people are going to get baptized. It's going to be wonderful. We're positioning ourselves consecrated as a church. Thank you, Lord, that we might encounter you. Thank you, Lord. Father, I bless your people today. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord be your guard and keep you. May the Lord be gracious to you. I mean, so good to you that you just can't stand it. He's so good to you. May his favor shine upon your life, that everywhere you turn, opportunities open, that God's favor goes before you. Divine appointments taking place, all that is needed for you to fulfill who you were called to be. The favor of God be on your life. And his peace, his shalom, would guard your hearts, would guard your minds, that you would never be tormented again. And that everywhere you go, you would advance this kingdom of peace. I bless your people today, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. And anybody who dared to agree with that said, come on, can we give a good clap to the Lord this morning?